If you're looking for a great read, NPR's Books We Love is back. You might have known it previously as the Book Concierge, but it's got a new name and a whole new crop of great reads chosen by NPR staff, critics, and other contributors we think you'll be happy to hear from. Whether you want sci-fi or romances, books about politics or literary fiction, you can find exactly what you're looking for just in time for a chilly winter night. I'm Linda Holmes, and today we're talking about some of the books we loved this year on Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Capital One. With Early Paycheck, you can get your direct deposit up to 2 days earlier. And with no fees or minimums on checking and savings accounts, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank. Capital One N.A., member FDIC.
Joining us is Barry Hardiman, senior editor. Hey, Barry.
Hiya.
And also with us is Andrew Limbong. He is the host of NPR's Book of the Day podcast and a reporter for the Culture Desk. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, Linda.
So before we start, we must acknowledge that Books We Love was a prized project of someone who's been much on our minds the last couple of weeks, NPR Books editor Petra Mayer, who died last month. Petra put heart and soul into this project this year and in past years. It's dedicated to her memory, and her stamp on it is and will always be unmistakable and much appreciated. There wasn't much she enjoyed more than recommending a great read. So we are going to share some of Petra's picks for this year later in this conversation, but let's dive right into some of Barry and Andrew's picks. Barry, what is your first pick?
My first pick is a book called Noor, and it's by Nnedi Okorafor, who is the sort of famed science fiction African futurist. She wrote the Binti series. And I do want to say that this is a real hard one to explain. And at one point, an interviewer asked her to explain it. And she said, well, I'm not really good at explaining, but I'm good at storytelling. So very quickly, there are two protagonists in this. One is called AO, as in artificial organism, and the other is DNA. Those are his initials in the book as well. She has these technically advanced prosthetics, but she's often demonized for them. This takes place in sort of futuristic Nigeria. He is a Fulani herdsman, and so he has this very, very deep connection to nature. And the two of them are on the run because of a viral video.
Oh, wow.
I know. It's got a lot going on. She is exploring how nature and technology can both be exploited, but also how you can harness them and work together, which is something that I think we can all relate to. And, you know, I've tried really hard not to say late stage capitalism here, but there it is. I did. But now that I've said that, I also want to say bang in page turner, because this one is that. This is a great book to sort of really suck you in during the holidays and give you some hope as we move from, you know, the year of our Lord 2021 to 2022.
Indeed.
Is the viral video like an ice bucket challenge? Like, what happened?
Andrew, if I start to explain that, we're never gonna, okay. I can't even.
So that is Noor by Nnedi Okorafor. Andrew, what is your first pick?
So yeah, my first pick is a book called What Storm, What Thunder by Miriam J.A. Chauncey. It's a novel that sort of takes place in the shadow of the 2010 earthquake in Haiti that killed hundreds of thousands of people. Each chapter sort of takes a look at a different person's life who's been affected by it, impacted by way. There are like some survivors, some not survivors, some people who like aren't in the country. And it's this fascinating, very specific look at these people's lives and how the big picture things happening affect them in such small ways, and sort of like in reverse too, right? Like one of the characters is a high up there exec at a water company, right? And water's a big problem after the earthquake, and it deals with these sort of like ethical quandaries of selling water to people who need it, and it's just like really intimately written in such a way that, like, you feel it. Because I remember when the 2010 earthquake happened, you know, it was in the news, and it's like, yes, this awful thing happened. But it's so huge, you're sort of disconnected from what actually is going on in the real lives of these people. This just, like, really brings their moments up front.
All right. Thank you very much, Andrew. What Storm, What Thunder by Miriam J.A. Chauncey. All right, so we do want to share with you a couple of Petra's picks, and Petra's first pick that we want to highlight is called Swordstone Table, Old Legends, New Voices. It is edited by Swapna Krishna and Jen Northington. This is what Petra wrote about it. King Arthur is famously the once and future king, and that epithet has never been truer than in Sword Stone Table, which brings together an epic roster of talent to rework Arthurian legend from marginalized perspectives. These stories span millennia, from Camelot through the eyes of a visitor from the 12th century Almohad Caliphate to Sir Gawain in a Martian colony. We see Merlin as a small-time stage magician comforting AIDS patients in 1980s New York, Arthur as a minor league ball player, and Merlin's lover Nia as an albino sorceress from Uganda. Come, sit, and listen, say editors Swapna Krishna, who's an NPR contributor, and Jen Northington. This is a roundtable with seats for everyone. Barry, you know this book.
I do. And I mean, as you said, it is truly seats for everyone. And I've read a couple of these stories in the anthology. Actually, I was drawn to it because one of the writers is Maria Devana Headley, who wrote the new Beowulf, and I love her. But I love that the sort of the central organizing principle is that the round table is a story that can be transposed for everyone. It is one of these things that, yes, there are archetypes we know, but you really can take these stories, and what makes them so wonderful is that you can update them and you can include everyone. There's really something for whatever kind of Arthurian legend lover you are, which is also kind of lovely because I think Petra is a kind of person who loved a little bit of everything. So I love that she recommended this.
I agree. And actually, Barry, your second pick is one that, this is a juicy book. I also read this book. Tell me about it.
I love a mystery with like novelists so much. This is called Who is Maud Dixon? And the author is Alexandra Andrews. This is about a young woman named Florence Darrow. And she, like some, yearned to become a famous author. She is hired to become the assistant to this very, very, a famous best-selling author who publishes under a pseudonym, and that pseudonym is Maud Dixon. Maud Dixon is sort of suffering from writer's block for her follow-up to her very, very famous first book, and so they go to Morocco. I really am not going to say anymore. I think,
yeah.
Linda, I don't think that I should, because that is how delicious this book is. It is very, very much a kind of Patricia Highsmith type mystery. And it really is like, what is the identity of the person that tells the story? You'll really be drawn in on the first page, which it's, you know, the action sort of starts right away. I love these characters because they are really difficult.
Yeah.
And they make choices that I would not make.
For sure.
But I loved reading about them making it. This is just, here's what I would say. Over the holidays, if you have this book, you really should do it on a day where like whatever you're cooking is supposed to sit on the stove unwatched.
I think that's great advice.
You know what I'm saying?
I think that's great advice. And I will add to what you're saying, if you know and enjoy satire about the publishing world, this is also a very kind of sharp little book about publishing, mm-hmm. about how publishing
yeah,
works and
right.
and how, not just from the creation of books side, but also from the fandom of books side.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love this book too. Again, that's called Who is Maud Dixon? It's by Alexandra Andrews. All right, Andrew, what is your second pick?
My second pick is, it's a book called The Loneliest Americans by J. Caspian Kang. He's a New York Times opinion columnist. And this book sort of like hit me at the right time. It's been a year for Asians dealing with a lot of stuff and processing things. You know, the team has been going through it. And it really gave me some things to think about like this term, like Asian American, right? And what it means, if it means anything, what is its efficacy, what's its use, what's its purpose? And he also makes sort of this argument that middle class, upwardly mobile Asians, you know, like such as yours truly, sort of take up too much space in this conversation about quote unquote Asian America, as opposed to, you know, lower class people, people in poverty, people who don't speak English, and kind of calls to task, again, people like me for almost like a lack of class solidarity. And it's just interesting to chew on. And it's a couple different essays, sort of him grappling with this question too. One of the chapters, he confronts the guy who runs the sort of MR Asian subreddit, which is a men's rights activist community for Asians. And then in another chapter, it's a really loving essay about Bruce Springsteen.
Mm.
And so he takes on these different bites at the apple to just like get at this question, which doesn't have a super satisfying answer. And I don't really think it's supposed to. But I'd encourage people who aren't me, who aren't like Asian Americans, to sort of read it, because it also gets at a bigger question of how race in America sort of plays out.
All right. Thank you very much, Andrew. That book, again, is called The Loneliest Americans by J. Caspian Kang. And we are delighted, I am delighted, to end with another of Petra's recommendations. Petra recommended a book this year called All the Feels by Olivia Dade. Here's what she said about it. All the Feels is Olivia Dade's latest installment in a loosely linked series of stories about the cast of a fantasy TV show that totally isn't Game of Thrones, even though everyone, including the cast, hates the last season. Bad boy actor Alexander can't stop getting into trouble. He despises his character arc, and he's got plenty of off-screen demons. So after one bar fight too many, the showrunners stick him with a minder. Short, stubborn, former emergency room therapist Lauren. Do sparks fly? You bet they do. Is there angst? Oh, so much. Alex and Lauren have chemistry like Mentos and Diet Coke, and Dade's spot-on depiction of fan culture is just chef's kiss. What I love about bringing you guys this recommendation from Petra is that this sounds to me like the Petra-est book
that's ever been. Every thread.
She was such a wonderful advocate for, you know, speculative fiction, for fan culture, mm-hmm. for romance. It is a wonderfully, wonderfully Petra pick to go out on. And again, if you want to discover even more books that NPR loved this year, visit npr.org/bestbooks. That brings us to the end of our show. Thanks so much to both of you for being here.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
And of course, thank you for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. We will see you all tomorrow when we will be talking about Wheel of Time.